SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
In Sweden, we believe in just the right amount. Embracing balance, minimalism and simplicity. Something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice. Between petrol, plug-in hybrid and fully electric. There's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you. Volvo.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to the On The Money podcast. It's Monday, the 10th of November. I'm Stephanie Yusuf, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the ASX 200 rose 0.75% to 8,835.90. Nine of the 11 sectors ended in the black, led by information technology stocks. Investors buoyed by the prospect of an end to the longest US government shutdown. For more, I spoke with Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics. So, Mathan, the ASX is starting the week in the black. In fact, it's on track for its best day in 2 weeks. What's driving the markets today?
Yeah, there was a fair bit of news out that the shutdown, there was a deal going through to get enough Democrats across the line. And the details are a bit sketchy at the moment, but the whole idea is, as you would expect in most of these cases, there's a short-term deal. So the new deal that's potentially coming through is something to stretch into the next year, so into January. It gives a bit of relief, especially for SNAP beneficiaries and the federal workers. They'll get paid. So to relieve that stress, especially with what's happening in tourism, with workers not there at the airport, going into a December holiday, that could be pretty messy. So I think this kind of short-term deal probably gets that out of that. So you're going to get this usual, you know, it's bad case, then we get a short-term deal, then it's not so bad, so we're getting that.
Could a potential end to the US shutdown help fix some of the volatility we've been seeing in the markets recently?
I think the problem for US is more structural. The shutdown is just a byproduct of it. I don't think there is a real longer-term deal in the shutdown, even when they get to it again in probably January, because the biggest problem is debt, and the bigger problem is US is still spending too much money in every other category. So they're now trying to cut on the lower to middle-income people's benefits to pay for the tax cut that they put in that they couldn't afford. So in context, it's really hard to do. So I think the problems will exist. The shutdown is, because it's a symptomatic of the bigger problem, it's not going to really solve anything. But short term, at least it's not going to get messier.
Well, one of the things that will happen if it does end is we'll see a huge backlog of official data being released. Mm-hmm. Could that cause some market confusion?
Yeah, now this is going to be fascinating. There's already, I suppose, a certain level of mistrust in the US data, given that when the labor market head came up with the weak data, he ended up losing his job. So there is a certain level of hidden pressure to deliver the numbers that the management wants. Now, that was already in play. Now we've got a laggard of data coming through. So it doesn't matter, because that data is already gone and we're going to get new data anyway. For a start, does that matter now? Two, is that data trustworthy? So it's going to be fascinating. I mean, this is the thing about the market at the moment. We're going through things that we've never seen before or have experienced it before. So we'll wait and see. But you're right. I think there will be volatility because the data will be dramatic and we're going to get multiple months of data very quickly. So who knows how that plays out.
Back home, ANZ has posted its full-year results today. Despite reporting a drop in profits, their shares are up today. Why is that? Like, what do you make of these results? Why do you think the shares are up? Is it because they flagged that it would be hit by restructuring expenses ahead of time?
Look, you don't need to be a bank analyst. Everyone is confused just like you. The banks are up mainly because of global flow. Because they're the biggest players in the market. I mean, CBA is 12% of the index. It dominates the market. When you put the four banks together, they're a dominant part of the market. For global investors, it's a great way to come into our market, get exposure to the Aussie dollar, and they can get out when they want because it's very liquid. Now, a substantial part of the problem is a lot of the retail investors, they got into banks at a very low price a long, long time ago. And nobody's going to sell out, irrespective of what happens to the market. Now, when you look at the banks in itself, they're extremely expensive. Most of them are at all-time high prices. They're not a growth engine. They're not something that's cyclical that runs up with commodity prices or anything. But banks are a pretty easy way for the global guys to play. So banks are expensive. A basic measurement is you're buying a bank for a yield investment. Now, the yield in most of the banks are less than the 10-year bond yield from the US government. So you're literally buying something and you're saying that's a better invest, like better safe play than the US government. That's probably not true. So in that context, you are buying an expensive stock, but it's going up because of the global flow into the banks. ANZ, we've had multiple banks report. Most of them have been pretty similar. You're going through a restructure phase. So there's costs, they're taking cost out. Every bank is closing branches. All customers, we know that. It's bloody hard to find a branch in the city nowadays. I can tell you that again. But so the cost cutting is coming out of the banks, but it's not a growth engine. They're not doing massive growth. Unless you assume that the economy is going to run hot, property prices are going to really fly, it doesn't really add up to any huge growth. So the banks are okay because they're government guaranteed. But they're not going to grow much. So paying a premium multiple doesn't make sense. So at the moment, the banks are expensive. It's been expensive for a while. At some point, that'll change. But yeah, don't worry. In the meantime, we're all going to be confused.
Well, mentioning that, there was a recent sell-off in the banks. Are we seeing investors start to switch from banks into things like resources? We keep seeing, commodity prices going up. Like, are we seeing like a shift away from the banks?
I think there is a certain level of that. I think historically, Australia is dominated by iron ore and coal, which is not doing that much. I think the main play has been very boutique commodities. So the bigger play has been in precious metals like gold, silver. We've had a bit of a bounce in lithium. Not sure how long that'll be sustained, but there are very specific commodities that are doing well. Critical minerals, obviously, getting the interest with what's happening with China, but they're not huge parts of our economy. So it is one of those things where I don't think you can move that much investment out of banks into those specific commodities. That's really hard to do. So in that context, I think banks still play a part to it, but I think more to the point where I think the global market is starting to think that Aussie dollar might come down. And that risk is the biggest risk for banks. Because at the end of the day, I know this is a weird concept, but banks are pretty much an iron ore stock. Because the reason I say that is because when iron ore goes down, Aussie dollar goes down. When the Aussie dollar goes down, the banks go down. So at the moment, the markets are starting to worry about the currency. And because they're trading the banks for the currency, weaker Aussie dollar suggests that weakness in the bank. So yes, there is a bit of a bounce at the moment, but I suspect the Aussie dollar will keep sliding with global growth, and so will the banks.
In Sweden, we believe in just the right amount, embracing balance, minimalism, and simplicity. Something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice. Between petrol, plug-in hybrid, and fully electric, there's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you. Volvo.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit. I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there any other company news catching your attention today?
Yeah, look, we like the inflation thematic. We think the policy failures will continue. The governments don't really have a choice. There's too much asset bubbles fueled by debt, and they can't undo it. So in reality, inflation is going to remain relatively strong, and I suspect it's going to rise. So you want to be exposed to the inflation cycle. So we like the food and the energy thematic. Today we had Dyno Nobel, which used to be called Incitec Pivot, report a very solid result. It's up, I think, 5-6%, and it's got one part fertilizer, one part explosive. So you've got mining services doing well, and you've got farming doing well. So in context, that's holding up quite well. They're doing quite a good cost out story, so that's playing well. So that kind of plays into our food thematic. The part of the sector, or so, sorry, the market that the market is ignoring is the energy sector. Because when you get into this kind of inflationary cycle, and if you are optimistic that the economies are holding up, well, the demand for energy is always going to be higher. We're going into northern hemisphere, going into winter, which means demand for energy tends to be higher. So the energy sector should do well. And there's a lot of segments in the energy sector that's unloved: oil, LNG, thermal coal, uranium. I suspect all of them are going to do well.
Finally, what are you telling your clients at the moment, and where are the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, so we've been in the inflation, I suppose, exposed sectors. So we've been long substantially in the gold sector, in the food sector, and the energy sector. But as with any thematic, when you're trying to do a portfolio concept, you need to have certain sectors where you believe there's more upside compared to the market. At the same time, you need to manage your risk. So you need to diversify some part of your portfolio into defensive yield thematics, in case you're wrong. So if your investment thematic doesn't play out like what you hoped, you've got the diversification to defend it. So defensive yields like APA, Telstra, rural funds, these kind of, and supermarkets, they provide you defensive yields. So in an inflationary environment, they do well. If economy slows down, they do well. So these kind of defensives can protect your portfolio. So risk management is one of the key strategies right now.
That was Mathan Somasundaran, CEO of Deep Data Analytics. That's all for today. Ricardo will be back tomorrow. Thank you for joining me.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.